Father, we come to you as open this book. This is your documents for us, the holy word of God, the seed, the true and living God, who Jesus said is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Satan has camouflaged that in our day, where there are people worshiping spirits. They don't even know who they are, and yet in turn refuse to worship God, who is a spirit. And we thank thee for the Holy Spirit of God that has the capability of living in our heart. Today we got born into the family of God. And we, Father, desire to learn more about you. It's sad, though, when people realize that they can't be saved without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's knowing about him. And we can't grow without this book being taught to us for the food that's needed for the spiritual man. I pray tonight we may see some things that's different and at the same time would help us to spend more time in this precious book to feed the new man, the man that is the new life of God in us, as we see to have to feed the physical body to stay in any type of health. We need the spiritual food for the spiritual body. And dear Father, for that new life that you give us, that we might bring the physical body in control with the knowledge we have about the spiritual man. Give us that tonight. We'll thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, if you turn, be turning with me to Genesis chapter 2, we'll start. And to start off with, I'm glad that God gives us the ability to use whatever that we may have when we're born physically from a mother and dad through procreation, that we can move more up the ladder unless there's some type of problem physically. I'm glad that you have the mind you have today and not the mind you were born with when you were born. What I mean? I mean, you know more today. You got the mind, but you know more today than you knew when you was born. I hope you know more today than when you were 5 or 6 year old or 10 year old or even a teenager. And yet sometimes physical problems keeps people from learning, or maybe there's a time when they didn't have the opportunity to learn. But ladies and gentlemen, God has made us in his image, and we ought to learn as much as we can. Because I believe the more we learn this life helps us in this life. And I know the more we learn about God and his plan and purpose helps us here until we get home in glory and be rewarded for it. But I read of a story, I don't know if this is true or not, but I read of a story of a fellow named Jim. He was illiterate. He couldn't read or write. And when he got grown, he still could not read and write. And he went looking for a job. Everywhere he went, because he could not read or write, they said, "I'm sorry, you're illiterate. We just can't hire you. This job requires," and they give requirements, "and you need to be able to read and write to do the job." We saw in town that the first church in town had an opening. So he went and talked to the pastor about the job. And when the pastor found out that he could not read or write, he said, "Jim, I'm so sorry." He said, "But this job qualifies something. You'd have to do that to have the job. And because of that, we can't hire you." He says, "That's my last resort. I don't know what I'm going to do." And one day after that, he was thinking. He went across and found some fruit at a farmer market or somewhere or another. He said, "You know what I think I'll do? I'll just buy some fruit, set me up a fruit stand on the street down the road from my house a little bit, and I'll see if I can't make a little income in that." And he did. And about a month or two went by, he was very successful. And then he decided, I'm going to set up another on another street. And then he went a few months, and that was successful. And then he decided he'd set up another in another a town, Jason, where he was at. He set that up. After a while in his state, he had fruit stands everywhere just about. And he said, "I need to put them inside somewhere or another instead of being out in the open like that." So he went and began to rent buildings. And he realized that, man, he got into something good that he could do. And next thing you know, he had fruits, buildings everywhere, and he was moving up in society as far as finances were concerned. And he said, "It's so good statewide, I think I'll go national with this thing." And within 25 years, he had fruit stores all over the nation at the time at different places, and he was a multimillionaire. And some of the people found out about this, and when they did, he got a call from a corporation one day and said, "Jim, we'd like to buy your business." And he said, "Well, it's for sale if you want to get it." And they offered him such a good price for it, he decided he'd sell it. It's millions of dollars. And so he said, I tell you what you do. He said, you get all the papers ready, and I'll meet you and have it signed and so forth, and you can drop it off here, and then, you know, we'll settle the deal. And so he did. The guy sent papers over to him. He brought them over to him to sign the contract, so forth, sale. And he said to the guy that was buying his property, he said, sir, he said, could you give me a summary about what this says? He said, why, Jim? He said, because I can't read or write. He said, Jim, are you kidding me? You mean to tell me you did all of this across this nation and you made a multimillionaire, $1 million in fruits across all this nation? He said, yes, sir. And you mean to tell me you were able to do this without reading and writing? He said, yes, sir, I sure am. What's so odd about that? He said, let me ask you something. Have you ever thought what you'd be and where you'd be at if you could have read and write? He said, yes, sir. I'd be the janitor of the first church in this town. Well, what I'm saying to you, where we at, God has made us with the capability of doing things. And read and write makes better. It doesn't mean that we become so handicapped we can't be used, but it does mean if we can learn to read and write, we ought to do that. And I think the Lord, that in our nation, believes that people need to learn how to read and write, because that opens up a lot of doors. But if you look at me now, as we pray, Father, I thank you again for the night. Give us wisdom. Help us with this now to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord in Jesus' name. Look at me, first of all, and we're going to look at information. I call this God's purpose for knowledge. Did you know everything we learn from God is because of his purpose for knowledge? Did you know that God lets us learn by knowing and knowledge, growing in knowledge? He's written a book for us. And so I start out here to begin and give a few things quickly, and then I get into the message. In verse 7 of chapter 2, and said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How do I know this is true? Because this is the knowledge of God documented in his word. The first chapter showed me how he did all the creation we know up to him made man. The first chapter said he had the power to just call things into existence. But when he came to man and demanded to make him in his image, he'd formed him to the dust of the ground, blew into the breath of life, and he became a living soul with the ability to reproduce when he got to the place to doing what he was doing by making him a mate. Then notice he says in the next verse, more knowledge coming on. He says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Of course, we know that was Adam. And then notice he said, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. So he made a garden out of another knowledge, and he planted in that garden trees, and these trees produced fruit. Now, I don't know if some trees did not, but he said, all these trees produce fruit of some kind that's planted inside that garden. And he sets forth as he plant that they began to grow and produce fruit. And then notice he gives us an insight. There's two other trees he put there that is different than those that produce fruit. Then notice he said that as he gave every tree that is pleasant to sight and produce good fruit, he said the tree of life is in the midst of the garden. The tree of life. The tree of life. That puzzles me. And yet, the more you study it, you never can really understand it, but it's enjoyable to study it because it gives you some insight. At least you can see other things. But there's another tree that's there, and he calls it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I could understand the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because it shows us that this is something here about this tree is a test, and it's going to produce that which in turn will cause man to be favored with God or disfavored with God. It's simple to obey what he's fixing to say. Now, the tree of life, I don't really understand all about that. I don't say a lot, but it does tell us it's there, and we're going to see a little bit about that. In fact, I'm trying to study that tree right now. There's not a lot said about it, but what is said about it, there is something about that tree. If you ate of it, you had life. And it's talking about life that God talks about forever. And so what happened now, he's got two trees there. He's got one, and Adam knew that tree was there, tree of life. And he's got another, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now look at me in verse 15, if you will. And he says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I know this. There's no sin entered in right now. There's nobody but Adam himself. He puts him in the garden to dress it, to keep it. By the way, since sin had not come into the world, it didn't have to be. It didn't have all the trash that's in gardens now, weeds and things like that. So I don't know what dressing, keeping it means, other than the fact is maybe he could eat from it, he'd look after it, there's certain things he could do. I'm sure it won't hard labor like it was after sin entered into the world. But he was put there for the purpose as being the one over that garden and to reap the reward from those that's in that garden. And then he said, and the Lord God commanded the man, said, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest eat, freely eat. But he said, listen, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And years ago, I wrote out beside of that Hebrews 9, again in verse 27. Because right here, this made the appointment for death in God's word. Here's the first time we see that appointment set up. And we refer back to years later in Hebrews that there's appointed a man wants to die. It started right here. If he doesn't obey God, death is coming. And so now I see that God's got him in the garden. He's in a beautiful place. He's not working for the sweat of his brow and things like that. It's a joyful place. And there's two trees there. And there's one tree, he said to Adam, he's not even here now. The day you eat of the tree of the good knowledge of good and evil, that day you're going to die. You're going to surely die. Then we move over a few verses and we find later, he sees it, Adam, of course, doesn't have a helpmeet, doesn't have a mate like all the other animals had. And you get him verse down to verse 21, 22. And verse 22 said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made him a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, I know that's what Adam said, but I wonder sometime when he saw Eve, he said, man, this beats anything I've ever seen. I've never seen an animal look like this. You say you're ad-libbing, yeah. Because I believe with all my heart, he thought she was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. He'd been messing with animals. And by the way, you look at man, look at animals. Man looks a whole lot better than animals. Well, most of them do. Anyhow. But anyhow, we see he'd give us information. Now, the tooth is there. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we get right into the information that where Satan sees a time to come and be used of God, allowed by God to test. And that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is going to be the test. You wonder why he didn't say, don't you partake of the tree of life? Because if he had, it'd been, look with me, go away a little bit further. And now we see woman and man being made, and now evidently it's been passed on to her that God told Adam, see that tree right there? All these other trees, all this good fruit we can eat of, but that tree, the God tree, God called it the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when we partake of that, if we eat of that, we're going to die. Now, how do I know that I must tell her? Because God didn't say he told her. And yet she knew. And so when Satan came to her and put the situation to her, and said, hey, God didn't really mean that. He wants you to know there's some things you don't know yet, and he knows if you eat that tree, you're going to be like him. And he gave something to her that she never heard of before in the sense that she's already like him, but he put another edge to it. Don't have the time to get into that as of yet. And so if you're looking over with me again in chapter 3, verse 22, watch this. Now, they've sinned in verse 22, and I'm having to go through, but it's going to give you some ideas about why God Almighty purposeful knowledge. I'm talking to you tonight about God's purpose for knowledge. Then he knows, he said in verse 22, I love this, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now they've sinned against God, disobeyed him, and God has covered, he's done all that and sacrificed a lamb, blood was shed, clothed them, they clothed themselves. We won't get that. That's knowledge too. But he said to us, behold, the lamb, man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat. And what's the next four words? And live forever. So evidently, ladies and gentlemen, that tree had the ingredients that God had set up. That whatever it was, if they did partake of it, they'd live forever. By the way, it must have been now as much so as before. And yet they're fallen now. So even now God has given us understanding that there's two levels in life. We know this, they had fallen and they had to be redeemed with something. And God set up a system, and already he's got in his mind what's going to happen between now until Jesus should come and pay the sin debt. And the Old Testament's full of that. But we know that tree is there, but at the same time, he set forth and take of the tree of life. He said, they partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, they know the difference between good and evil. And what it's saying to us that God can give life as well as death. And he had both of these in that garden as symbolic of something in life. Now, if I move on quickly and go to James with me, and I will just read this for reference because I don't have to do this. We go to, you know, some 4,000 plus years later, and God is talking through James, and James makes this statement in verse 13. I'm going to read him. I'm not going to explain because we talked about Wednesday night. He said, let no man say when he is tempted to God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man, but every man that is tempted after he's drawn away after his own lust enticed. That is debate we talked about. Then when lust hath conceived, that is when it's developed in the mind, formed in the person, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And we could go further on that, but we understand that sin brought about death, and we just read about what that sin was. Disobedience against what God told Adam. Now, if you go with me also quicker to Luke, and look with me in Luke chapter 6, and we look at verse 43 and 44. Luke chapter 6, and watch this. Jesus said, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring it forth good fruit. For every man, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. Now I know that's what he's saying, but to me it's like I understand it better. An apple tree don't produce oranges, and an orange tree don't produce apples. That's Johnson County. We can get right here where we live at. Amen? Then he said, a good man, out of the good a treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is bad or evil. He said, for of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And then, he laid out the fact that you would tell the fruit of the tree. And it's that tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But here he's talking about that you can tell the fruit of a tree. So he uses the child of God, or he used that good and evil in the shape of the, like a tree, that we produce fruit. And what he's saying, that a good tree is going to produce good fruit. That's how you're going to tell a person saved. By the way. And an evil tree will still keep putting forth evil fruit. Then I like the last phrase that Jesus said here in verse 46 of chapter 6 of the Gospel of Luke. He said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In essence, he talked about the tree, the good tree, the bad tree, the fruit, good fruit, the bad fruit. And then he comes up that a good tree is going to produce good fruit. A good tree is not going to produce bad fruit. And a bad tree is not going to produce good fruit. And then he says to them, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In other words, there are people who can call God's Lord or Christ Lord and disobey him, but it's only words. They're not producing the fruit. And he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't produce the fruit? Or as he put here, and do not the things which I say. In other words, what we're seeing God telling Adam at this time in the beginning is for to obey or not to obey. Words. You obey me or not obey. You obey him and will give the fruit that's needed. You to disobey will give the fruit that's needed. And in the different types of fruit is the type of person you're looking at. So that's when you hear me say a lot of times, I don't judge people, but I'm a fruit bearer. I'm a fruit watcher. I'm watching for fruit. Why? I want to be sure I don't produce fruit that would dishonor God. And even much as we try, we fail sometimes. And then I go to Ephesians with me quickly, and that'll be last reference. Looks like that's about all I'm going to get to tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me, and we'll see what God has to say here. And look down about verse 16, then we get right into the message. Verse 16, Paul said, wherefore I also, I've heard of your faith and so forth. And then in verse 16, he says, it's talking about from verse 1, I cease not to give thanks for making mention of you in my prayers. What's verse 17? What is his thanks and what making of him in his prayers? What's this? He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at the word. The knowledge is just what God has given us to know about him. Without that knowledge, we wouldn't know him. And so when a person begins to deny the knowledge that God has given us about what he's doing, they're headed down a trail. No wonder they don't understand what God is. No wonder they have a false God. No wonder they don't believe that Jesus Christ can do what he said he could do. Because they refuse the knowledge that God gave them, just like Adam and Eve refused to believe God and fail. They believed him for the wrong thing. They did not believe he meant what he said about death. And the thing about it is, it works when he and Eve fail. They didn't feel death. They didn't feel the pains of death. The only thing they knew at that time, just things looked different, or looked about the same, until God came back to the scene again. And then they began to look at each other, and they realized something's not right. And as God approached, they began to move. They didn't know. Hey, they don't know what physical death is now. But they began to move and move. And as God got closer, they ran and hid. And God came and, Adam, where art thou? Not because he didn't know where he was at. He wanted to respond. And finally he did. What did you do? Read the rest of that later. I don't have to do that. I don't have time to do that. Watch what he said this, though. That may give you, that the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I've been saying that so much. Somebody say, well, you say it too much. No, you don't. You can't say it too much. If you don't get it in line, you're not going to understand what God said. And I won't either. He said this, when you have the knowledge that he's talking about through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that's the spiritual world, that's the dimension you don't have in physical life, because we're on a higher plane when we're learning things about God in the dimension of the spiritual world. And the Holy Spirit has to help us there. He's our main teacher there. I'll listen to what you have to say, and you listen to what I have to say. But the Holy Spirit ought to be the one who teaches you, let you know that's truth or not truth. And he will when you compare Scripture with Scripture. Notice what he said. And he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. I love this. Because he said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us worth, the child of God he's talking about, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Everything's about him, folks. When he raised him from the dead. And he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And that's the reason I know in Ephesians 2, when he says we're sitting there in him, he's there and we're in him and we're there too. In the eyes of God. And then he said, far above the principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of over all things to the church. And that's what we're part of, which is the body of the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God's purpose for knowledge. In Genesis chapter 3, God reveals the key reason for this particular tree being put in the Garden of Eden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God declared all the other trees good for food. The name of this tree reveals a purpose of, just like the name of the tree of life reveals a purpose. This tree was a teaching aid to be understood to knowledge, be understood by knowledge. Here one could understand the difference between good and evil, which was created by Satan's action and not by Adam. But Adam did that which was wrong that he caused us to fail. Satan created the atmosphere, but he didn't make Adam do it. Satan didn't make Eve do it. But he presented a situation that in turn they began to think, as he said, God tried to do something, keep you from knowing some things about him. He knows when you see this, you're going to see things, and he named, you know, about who you are and so forth. And all of a sudden, they begin to think, maybe there's something beyond this that's better. By the way, Satan always will make you think that sin is better. He always makes you think you're going to get by with it. No, you never will. God's not mocked. What we sow, we're going to reap. And so we see, we're reaping now what our forefather did. We didn't do the same sin. We didn't do the same sin that Adam did in the similitude of that seed, but we have the nature of Adam, and we did worse things when we come along. We denied a lot of things. And so here one could understand the difference between the good and evil, which was created by Satan, his actions, and not by Adam. But Adam and Eve opened the door, though, to evil for humanity by disobedience to the known knowledge of God. Would you not say what I've read to you already? They knew the known information by God. He didn't let them be ignorant. They knew God's purpose. They knew the purpose for knowledge. And God had given them that knowledge. Now, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. James said again, we just read 1:17, every good gift, well, I didn't read this, but right below that he said that, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. God intended for man to obey him for his good rather than to disobey him, be punished by death for evil. This tree of the knowledge in good and evil was the tree that represented a choice to be made, what would happen with God and Adam and Eve and the rest of his creation in time. Somebody said, well, I can't. I don't know how many, hundreds of times people say, well, you're not going to blame me for something Adam did. No, God's not going to blame you for something Adam did. But God's going to blame us for what we do with the nature we got from Adam. Adam didn't sin like we did. Hey, we probably did a lot more sins than Adam did in a fallen condition. But that one sin was all that's needed. When God gives a test. By the way, just a test to you and I, just one time, only God has to give us. And he can right there. Aren't you glad in the age of grace we're living in now, he gives us many opportunities? If not, we would come up bad. So let me give you three quick points. Let's define the word knowledge to begin with. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. You know what it says? It grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He teaches us to do that. This is two words, and the word knowledge is two words fastened together to express a point of interest. The word know means to be or have an intimate acquaintance. The word ledge or not ledge, ledge is like a step or horizontal surface from a wall, a cliff or something, some other surface that you can fall over at. And so here, in this era, we look at this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and we look at that with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is God designed for spiritual growth in the child of God, for promotions in life. With the growing grace and knowledge of the Lord, as we do, we can be promoted in places as God moves us, higher level in the Christian life. Just like if you live in this life and you get a job somewhere or another, they have promotions in that. You do certain things, you qualify, next thing, people are looking for someone to raise up, and then they'll give a chance to be promoted based on how you perform. And so now we see that this is God designed for spiritual growth in the child of God's life for promotion in life. In other words, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, you read it later, he talks about we actually change from the same image from glory to glory. So we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, but we change from the image. We grow to a point in the image of Christ, but then we grow more from glory to glory, from glory to glory. After we get growing grace and knowledge of the Lord, we're moving more so that hopefully people would be able to see Christ in us. And God is letting us be in the church. We look at that in a few minutes, that in the church, we think we vote on people. If you pray for something, people have been in a position, they will feel the position that they should feel if it's asked to feel. If God raises that person or gives that person the ability, he'll see or she'll stay there until God gets through with them. And we have to see that. If not, we vote for people just because we need someone. God forbid. I don't think God ever wants us to just vote for someone because we need it. We need to vote because we want someone to perform a job. And that's what God does when he raises us up. I don't believe I'd ever be here if I hadn't found myself back a young baby in Christ meeting quarters of life in the world because I'm a Christian. And though I slipped and fell a lot of times, every time something was corrected led me more to understand growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord means going from glory to glory to glory. In Christ, that is, we are moving in a direction where people see the Lord hopefully more in us than ever before. And so after the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us through the high priest price that was paid, that's ever been paid with the sacrifice of the Son of God himself. So trees are planted and they grow from seeds. And so the Word of God's a seed, in turn, that's proclaimed, that settles in our heart. The Bible declares that a tree is known by its fruit. We just seen in this scripture and also Matthew chapter 12, verse 23. Number two, I want you to notice one reason for knowledge is promotion. in this life and also in the life. I don't want anybody to go to school a period of time if you didn't think you could get a better job. I don't know of anybody to give their time for 4 or 5 years going to school and then the rest of your life going to school. And when you go to school, you think you're better than yourself, right? Now, there's a lot of gems around, I'm sure, that has the ability to make a good living. But most of us know, and our nation knows, since it's raised from a Christian attitude foundation, that knowledge can help a person get better things in life. And so most everyone goes to school or seminaries or conferences to take job training courses to get to the top of their workplace. We all like to be promoted. Not me, preacher. Yes, you would. Because in promotion, you get better, higher-paying jobs. And when we talk about this, we all desire to be taken beyond our present level to a higher level in life. Now, I understand this because you heard me say a lot, and you think I say things just to have something to say? No, but I've said a lot in years past. You heard me say that when I found out things in Scripture, they work themselves also in secular life. When I work for somebody, I work for them as I was working for God. I ask God, let me work for you first, so I'll be my best for that person. It amazes me today what I hear people saying about the workplace. Now, there are some evil places, I'm sure, and difficult. I've replaced more family-like maybe than in this day is today. So I move from assembly in the workplace to a line supervisor. Now, I knew everything I need to know about the product I was assembling, so I moved to line supervisor. But you know what they did? They said, hey, you might know how to put those assemblies together, but in supervisor, that's administration. You need to go to school. And they sent me off to school to state. So many weeks out of a month. And then I began to see it at that. Now, all of a sudden, I began to go to school. Not to learn about the product, but to learn about administration that the product could be made. And to learn that, got a promotion. Now, stay with me, and you'll see what I'm talking about the Lord in just a few minutes. And you learn those things. God, it amazes me what God lets us see as a Christian. If you understand why people like Joseph and others and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, we looked at some of those. When they got in a place, they didn't stop serving God because they were in bondage somewhere or another. God was first when they were in the land, the promise, and he was first when they were prisoners in other lands. And so we see this taking place. So I knew the product very well, but I didn't know the administration. And they moved me up to supervisor. And so I knew the product well. I'd like anything in the department. I learned to go, and I could work any station, and then got to be a supervisor. You got to be able to work any station because you're over everything. And then he came back and said, yeah, we're going to make you assistant foreman. You got to go to school. Well, you know, when you in school and you've been in school and you're still in school, you wonder why you still got to keep going to school. But I'm glad they sent me, folks, but I understand now why I had to go to school. By the way, you learn everything in an apartment, how to put it together, but you won't know how to handle people if you don't go to school. Somebody in our day knows better than we do. They've been there. And so they teach you administration. They teach you to try to be the best that you can be in the position that you're in. So I knew the product, but not the administration. And I found myself going to school and over a period of time. I didn't realize then, though, that God was also training me for where I'm at today. Because I've been here a lot longer than I've been there. I was 12 years there. So I learned something. To be divine promoted is to be taken beyond one's level to a higher position, office, and power in the Lord Jesus Christ without merit. When you and I got saved, there's nothing we did for that. We didn't deserve it, folks. When God saved you and my soul, we didn't deserve it. We didn't do a thing to get it. It's all by God's grace and his mercy. But look what he did. He took us from the lowest place in muckmire of sin and raised us up and set us on the rock, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it, so we didn't have to have anything but the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And when we acknowledge that to him, God, you're right, we're wrong. And I not only hear about him in knowledge, 1 John, in the record you give with your son, I do what Jesus said in John 1:12, received him as my personal Savior. And God birthed us into the family of God. Now, I had to have the knowledge of what that birth was. But then when after that, now knowledge comes what I'm to be doing, just like in the spiritual world, that God has given me information in this book. As I accumulate that information, just like in the physical world, what I'm trained to do wherever I'm at, the job that I'm in. They see the need of the physical world for us to be trained for that job. God sees the need that we need training too, because listen, we've come from a way of life that's a long ways from how God is. And you know, when we come over in this life, we have a lot of baggage. And it takes time as we grow in grace and knowledge to get some of that baggage away so we can really hear the voice of God. Not at night speaking out verbally, but through His precious word, which through the Holy Spirit of God. And so I began to see there's some great things taking place here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, God had raised us up together and made us set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, folks, we're sitting in Christ Jesus at the throne of God now because of who Jesus is, not because of anything we've done. Now, when we go to the bema seat of Christ and the judge and pass out wars, it'll be what we have done according to how we served Him. But you and I who sat down, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father now because His job is finished for redemption. And you and I are there, not because we deserve it, but because of His mercy and His grace. He lifted us to that. We'd have never got to that position had not been for Jesus Christ. So I got a lot that I owe to Him to obey what He has to say. And by the way, Adam and Eve had a lot to owe to God to obey what He said about that tree because God created them. God was their creator. Adam and Eve didn't create God. God created them. And so I began to look into this thing about knowledge and what God is saying. And so our eyes, according to Ephesians 1, 18 to 23, our eyes of understanding have been opened, and we see the height to which Jesus has been elevated, raised above the powers of dominions. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, God tells us that in Christ we have been raised up, exalted, lifted up, divinely promoted, from a child of the devil, Jesus talked about in the Gospels, to a child of the living God. A child that has been born into the family of God. A place we don't deserve, but God gave it to us because we believe the record that God gave of His Son and trust Him as our personal Savior. So this is not by works or merit on our part. It's agreeing with God that He's right and we were wrong. And we throw ourselves like the story Jesus talked about, the person that wouldn't even smoke, wouldn't even say anything like others who went before God. They said, "No, I think thee, I'm not like this." The Pharisee said, "I think thee, I'm not like this. I think thee, I'm not so." And the Pharisee and the person who was the sinner, or the public, they called him, he just bit himself on the breast and said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He didn't try to raise himself up one bit. And God said, "Forth through Christ, this man went to his house justified." That's what I want to hear, don't you? And I hear that when I see what God says about justification, men declared right before God. And so this gift of God's divine promotion is not a result of man's labor, but of God's grace. So we're not asking to be promoted, raised, or lifted up. You know, two disciples did that one time. One time they came to Christ and Jesus said, "What would you have me do?" And they said, "Lord, we've been thinking about it. Would you let me sit on one side of you in your kingdom and this other sit on the other?" They wanted to get in a position the other apostles couldn't get to. That's not what we do. We're just glad to be children. And so as I obey receiving Christ, become a child of God, but I have no merit, God says, "Now if you listen to me like that about your life, and you're growing grace and knowledge of the Lord, and you move, you know, from glory to glory to glory, and you grow, and the more you get in the Lord, though you still have things that's wrong, and you'll have to be dealing with that, and you can have your sheet, you can have that wall as white as it can be over years and years, and have one little speck come, and the world will see the speck, not the rest of it. But God sees it all. And that little speck, all it's got to be done when He recognizes it to you, First John 1:9, put it under blood. And then the whole wall is white again. That's what communion is about. Get everything under blood. But be sure you're not mocking God. I think we're saying the world is to be mocked. And so the gift of God promotes us. And we are already been promoted in Jesus Christ to a high spiritual level. The born-again child of God has a place. God has not made us who have been saved connected to the head, or God has made us to be connected to the head and not to the tail. We are at the top and not the bottom. We are above and not beneath. We are raised up in all things. The Holy Spirit has lifted us in all things. And that's through the resurrection. Jesus paid the price for sin. The eyes of our understanding, he said, have been enlightened. We can know what the hope of his calling is for each individual and what the exceeding greatness of his power is to us who believe in his resurrection. We saw that in Ephesians, ladies and gentlemen. We are no longer the lowly, dusty places in life. In Jesus Christ, we're winners. We're not losers. Keep in mind, no human being prays to be a man or a woman, even in physical birth. It's the way God set it up. And we don't pray that I be something more than I should be either in the spiritual birth. As a matter of fact, we are fashioned by God to be what he planned each of us to be through physical birth. By his method and not ours. God purpose for knowledge. God even provided the gender for us. He set up procreation. And you don't have to go through the mathematics of that or the dynamics of that, the mechanism of that. He set up, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the gender. He called Adam a male, and he called Eve a female. And that's what happens when there's a birth. We don't decide we're going to be. I didn't decide when God set up the method for me to be born, I was going to be a man, or even a boy, or even a male. And the lady didn't decide. In the method that God set up, they don't have the right to decide who's going to be a lady or a girl baby. It's the way God set it up. Man's manipulating today and trying to do things, and God's going to put that in it'll stop one of these days. So here we find ourselves being brought into this world by the method that God sets up. And God Almighty sees in us who have been born into the family of God what we're capable of doing. And he wants to rise us to that level as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. At any birth, physical or spiritually. When you take physical birth, all that you have to do once you're born physically, do the right thing, eat the right food and time, and the features that God gave you will develop and become visible in this world as a male or a female. May I go back and say to you that at your spiritual birth, all that you do is to do the right thing before God in obedience, eat the right food from his spiritual book, and the features that God gives you will develop and become visible to this world. And in the spiritual world, a child of God will manifest who they are by the fruit they bear. It's wonderful. Only in Jesus Christ can we keep growing in such exalted position. Then the third thing quickly. Notice two things that stands out in Isaiah chapter 1. Go there with me just a moment. I want you to notice, if he knows what God tells Isaiah in chapter 1, and if you look with me down in verse, he's given information in verse 19. I love this because this really helps me understand. God has given, and there's so much that I just can't get to, but I don't know how things are going to be, and I want to be sure to get as much as I can. He's talking here this time, this whole chapter, he's dealing with the case of Israel, God has against Judah, and he's telling Isaiah, and as he go back and read some of the things he said about what he's going to do and so forth and what he has done. Verse 19 starts this way, and I like this. He said, if ye be willing and obedient. He's talking about the land now. And Isaiah's telling Israel this. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I love that because he gives us this. Willing, notice willing and obedience. He said, ye shall eat the land. These are two actions, prepare words. From God's standpoint, we have to locate the mind of God, the plan of God, written in God's holy word, and then agree with God, whether we understand it or not, we have to agree with him, and then to agree with him is to do what he says in the context, though sometimes we don't understand it. But if we begin to agree and work towards a goal that God gives us, he'll give us understanding. Because he tells us in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and he links the two together with understanding. And so I see. And he goes on down further. Watch. And he said, not on that. He says in verse 20, he said, but if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city becoming a harlot? And it was full of judgment. Righteous lodge in it, but now murder's in it. He said, there were righteous in it one time, now murder's in it. And why? Because they refused to follow the method that God had set up, which is a holy method. And so when I go through this, let me give an example. Daniel was a slave in a foreign land. He rose to a position of leadership in that land. Daniel did not scheme to be promoted. He didn't take his ambitions and so forth and attain such position in life by insurrection when he got into the land. Daniel did not try to rationalize or bend things to favor himself. Daniel may not have understood all God said and did what he was at, but he tried to please God by accepting and maintaining his standard in God's word, whether he was at home, in the homeland, or in the foreign land as a slave. His desire, no matter where he at, his position in life, and where he was at didn't determine where he served God or didn't serve God. He served God wherever he was at, either in line of rank of highness or if he was considered a slave. And he's moved higher up because no matter where he's at, people saw fruit they didn't see in others. Then I see also, if you will, and if you go to Genesis chapter 37 through 50, you see Joseph. Joseph believed and trusted in the word of God, refusing to substitute offer to Potiphar's wife in Egypt. She tried to get him to lay with her. Joseph refused her suggestion. He fled from her, proving God's promotion are much better. But look what she did to him. He ended up in prison down and stayed 2 years in the worst place in the world, not because he had did something wrong, but because he served God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing place to be, to get second in command in the land of Egypt? He went from down to prison cell to second command of Egypt. God promoted him. Amen. Pharaoh thought he had just good traits, thought he was a good whatever. God promoted him. He's the hand behind you can't see, you see. Amen. Then I see also Joseph. I also see Caleb and Joshua. They stood alone not with ambition, but with the plan. You go to Numbers chapter 13, 14. With the plan that God's word entered in the next level of God's plan for level them. You see in Daniel 3, 18, 8 through 18, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we look at them and they acted upon the word of God. And they saw the fourth man in the fiery furnace when it was seven times hotter than it usually was. They were going to be sure they got them. God's going to be sure they didn't. And God all side him. His method. What I am saying is that God's method may be different, but his principles are unchanging. So sometimes people fall because they're ambitious, seeking something that they already have, and do not recognize what they've got. And Adam and Eve didn't recognize what they had. They thought they have something better, but listen to Satan. God had already made Adam ruler over his physical creation. Psalms 8, 4 and 3, 6, he tells us that. God's eternal purpose in physical life is that man may be promoted by him for obedience. Many times, fallen man wants to see how God's word will benefit them before they even get involved with it. And you'll never see that. You'll never see the end. You can trust God for the end, but you won't see the end when you start, because it won't be by faith as you do. It won't be by faith for me if I do. And I see that God gives us this instruction for us. And this is the reason that many Israelites died in the wilderness, because they refused to obey God's word, wanting to return to Egypt. God's eternal purpose in physical life is that man to be promoted by him for obedience. And I say again, many times man wants to see how God's word will benefit him before they actually do it. And this is the reason again that you find that the Israelites died 20 years and older in the wilderness, because they refused to obey God's word, wanting to return to Egypt. I can't imagine, after all they've seen God do and know they could take care of them, but they were fickle and found themselves in unbelief in hard times. God didn't promote them that were 20 years and older unto the next level, which was Canaan. None of them saw it who were 20 years and older. It's not this just what we do. It is not just what we do, but what is willingness that we're willing to do, and the inspiration that propels us to do something or not do something in life. We want to let God change the way that we think and lift our eyes to the Scriptures and spend time in the Scriptures, because that's where he speaks, folks. God doesn't have to come and verbally speak to us now, because he's spoken already all we need in this book. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he could and he may one time do some things, but we better listen to what he says in the book more than what someone says he comes to them verbally and tells them. And this is the reason I believe we see God giving us the growth that we need. It's not just what we do, but the willingness to do it through the inspiration of God, it propels us. We need to let God change the way we think, lift our eyes, and see what God has ordained for you to see that's beyond some things. And I close with this thought. This book lets me see where I'm at and lets me see the promise of what's beyond some things that I can't see now and I only can see when I get there. And it may not be exactly what I think I see, but it'd be what God wants me to see. And after all, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And so I see that God has ordained for us to see something beyond. He set forth to see something beyond what our eyes can see in this life. He set us to see something beyond spiritually what your ears can hear. He's let us see something beyond what your nose can perceive. He's let us see something beyond what you feel and taste. Think about it. God has a purpose for us, folks, in promoting us one day when he promotes us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and if you look with that in this last verse I'll look at, but if you look in Proverbs chapter 3, you know this verse that we sing sometimes, in quote, in verse 5, 6, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Do you hear that? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Then he says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Let that be the thing we think about. One day, he says, we will see it like God sees. I long for that day. Now, Phil Tracy says in my mind, I come up short. I'd be honest with you. I thought the older I get, the smarter I get. And now my mind won't even work. I can't even remember some of your names. I look out there and I know most of your name. But if you'd asked me to give you your name, I probably couldn't do it. And it's the most amazing thing in this world. I told Barbara that I can't imagine. I try my best. We were going to the funeral yesterday. I could not think of a name. And all of a sudden, we'd be riding down the road and I didn't think about it. It just come to my mind. So I got a delay. Something delayed. It don't mean I don't know where I'm at. It means I'm done. What I'm saying to you, though, the thought came to me, and I close. One day, because we see in Revelation 22:4, I said this morning, one day we're going to see his face. Thought, listen to me, Adam and Eve knew intellectually the difference between good and evil after the fall. They didn't know that before. But after the fall, they experience what is needed for them to understand the difference between good and evil after the fall. And though they didn't understand death, they realized something had happened, and God called it spiritual death. You and I understand. I don't find where he ever tells Adam and Eve they had spiritually died before God. But he tells us we are born spiritually dead. But he did tell us, as we look at them, they knew the difference now between good and evil. But that didn't make them do good, because when evil's present, Satan's got something to really use against us. And then one day they lost a child. And I don't know the better way in the world for a person to understand death than to lose a child. They had a son rise up against another son of theirs. You know, Cain and Abel. And so when I thought about Adam and Eve, knew intellectually the difference between good and evil after the fall. But they did not know, and here's my last thought, in closing this thing about God's purpose for knowledge. Though the difference between that which is good and evil, they did not know what disobedience would do to their relationship with God and their family after they fail. Even after they fail, they didn't know what that one thing did, their relationship with God and their family. Because when God began to approach them, I said to start with, they began to retract because they knew something wasn't right. By the way, if you're trying to serve God and sins in your life, you know something's not right. It ain't because somebody ran around and told on you. It's because the Holy Spirit knows already what it is. And he's trying his best to get us to recognize that. And then all of a sudden you see that God finally fixed it away so they could be at least taken care of until Jesus could come by giving a lamb at that particular time. But look, they had a son. They were up in age. I wonder how long it was before they really knew what physical death was. We know this, that these two sons had to be certainly beyond probably adolescent years. And then one day, the evil that came from their decision to disobey God, one son was evil. The other one wanted to do right. One obeyed God in giving. The other did not obey God in giving. One bought the best that he had in the land of animals, like God said. The other tried to give fruit and other things, and thank God don't accept it. And because God had privileged and blessed Abel, Cain got upset. And the evil in his heart run to the top of his ability to think. One day he thought if he'd get rid of Abel, he could get rid of the problem. It just made it worse. Death came into their family. Adam and Eve never knew the full consequence of what they did until they saw God coming, and then they saw their son die. God's word's true, folks. God's purpose for knowledge is for us to grow in that grace and knowledge of the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you again. May we approach this book in a way to know, Lord, first we need the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for that which you've written. And please help us see it in context. Please help us put it together right so we get the picture that God wants us to know in knowledge. You are God of knowledge. And you teach us that these things that God has given for us to grow, it comes through knowledge. And you give us that ability to grasp that knowledge. And it don't come by itself. No one here has been to school and things just come by itself. They learn what they learn. If they're like most people in here, probably had to study hard when they were in school. And no matter where we go, we have to study to learn, and same way with the spiritual life. It becomes food for our soul. Give us a good week this week as we approach your word day by day to hear the voice of God, to instruct us, Lord, and may our life come so that wherever we work for you. We thank you. If the job's not right and it disobeys you, then find us another job. But what we do, we work for you. And then, Lord, out of that, you get the glory and you also reigns indirectly or directly, the promotion. And one day you're going to deliver us on the other side through the rapture. What a great promotion that's going to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.